First off, you're about to hit the road again. So how does that feel? Are you excited? Are we antsy?
Well, you know, it's a fascinating time to be doing it. I am always concerned, you know, with people's safety, with our own safety as well, you know. So there's that element which is sort of omnipresent now. Then there's just sort of the usual sort of anxiety that happens when somebody like me goes on tour in an area of the country where I'm going on tour in. A lot of times I am the only one at the gas station or the rest stop or whatever who's dressed the way that I am. And this can be of particular interest to people, oftentimes in a complimentary way, but then every now and again in a sort of like physically threatening kind of way. There was a guy recently in North Carolina who pulled up in front of our van to gas up his car, and he got out of the car and he had a gun strapped to his leg. And I could see him out of the corner of my eye as we were sort of walking across the parking lot to go in to use the restroom. I could see him pointing at us and saying something. And it was creepy and weird. And I didn't know, you know, exactly what it was. I just went about my business. But then when I came back out from the restroom, he had parked his car right behind our van so that we couldn't get out. And he was just sitting there, I think, waiting for us to come back out. And I went and told my tour manager, and he was like, look, let's just, you know, we're just going to stay here until he leaves. Luckily, that plan worked. You know, he did eventually leave, and we went back out and got in the van and got, you know, went back on our trip home. But in this day and age, you really don't know. You just really don't know where people are coming from sometimes. And that can be very scary. There is all of that to contend with when you're going out there. For me, the main reason that I, you know, go on tour is to feel a part of this world that sometimes is like can be threatening or whatever. Music and love conquers all, as far as I'm concerned. You know, it's a defiant act to go out there and do this stuff in spite of the uncomfortable situations that one may find oneself in America in 2021.
Yeah, it sounds like hitting the road is a lot more harrowing than people would have thought originally.
Well, you know, I mean, it depends on the experience. You know, I mean, if you're Florida Georgia Line and you're coming through Arkansas, like I don't think anybody's worried about whether or not someone is going to just size them up, you know, in public and decide like, oh, this is somebody worth picking on or trying to do something to or whatever. They fit right in usually wherever they're going. It really depends on the experience, you know, and everybody's experience is going to be different. And that's why it's important for people to share what their experience is, even if it's not like the most comfortable thing sometimes, because I think we need to be aware of the fact that these situations, really simple situations, you know, on the surface level, for some people, there's real anger and vitriol that they're carrying around with them, you know, and this is because of their experience that they've had in their life. But then because they're not conscious, you know, because they're not aware of the trauma that they faced or whatever, like they're passing this experience of trauma that they've had in their life onto somebody else by getting mad at them or, you know, harassing them or whatever it is, whatever way that they're choosing to expel that pain from themselves. We're all going through something like that, you know, normalizing our ability to sort of to talk about it, to admit that it happened, I think is an important step to sort of trying to lessen the damage that we do to each other, the violence that we do to each other because of those traumas and tough things that we're carrying around inside ourselves.
Are these some of these themes of like, obviously, anxiety, not only for your well-being, but for everybody's well-being who are in a part of a community that are ostracized? Are these themes that we're seeing in your latest album that you're bringing to the road?
Yeah. I mean, it's always in my music, you know, and it sort of always has been. I think in more subtle ways initially, and then, you know, very personally on this last record. In a lot of ways, the record is kind of dedicated to those folks. I wrote songs about, you know, my own experiences with those very things that are on this record. And I did it in a way that was an effort to normalize that, because I think there are many, many people that they don't fit into this place or they don't fit into that place. You know, they're not queer enough, or they're, you know, too queer to be, you know, straight or whatever. That was something that I dealt with, like, when I was kind of coming up as a young man. You know, it's, I knew that I was a queer person. I didn't know what that was going to mean for me. I was afraid of what that would mean if my family knew. I was afraid of what that would mean if people who knew me knew that, because I didn't know what it meant for me, really. And I was in a fairly isolated environment where that wasn't something that was discussed or really acknowledged or anyway. I'm sure there were other students at my high school that were queer too, but, you know, nobody was really out or whatever. It's a small town, New Albany, Ohio. The town was owned by a guy named Les Wexner, whose finances were looked after by the one and only Jeffrey Epstein, who had a house in New Albany, Ohio, while I was in high school, and he was like doing his thing there. It was kind of a crazy little town to be from. And, well, I guess I should say, I wasn't really originally born there. You know, I was born in Wilmington, Delaware. My family moved to Southern California, and then I moved to Ohio when I was in high school, and I graduated from high school there. But your high school years are pretty formative years. You know, you're discovering a lot of things about yourself. I knew all this about myself, you know, at that time, but I had no one to talk to about it. I had no one to, like, you know, there was nobody else felt like safe talking to really about it. You know, in a lot of ways, it felt like, you know, like I had a secret or something. I didn't know if it was like a good secret or a bad secret. You know, it was like hard to figure out for me. And then when I moved to New York City and I met Justin Tranter and I met Tommy Cole and Roy Karas, who were sort of three central creatives in Semi Precious Weapons and all incredible queer men. They were like my heroes. I mean, I was in the band with Justin, obviously, and stuff like that. We started together and wrote these songs together, but like their ability to express who they were and be who they were proudly, that was life-changing for me, especially coming from New Albany, Ohio. So it set me on a new mission in life. I thought, you know, I don't want kids to have to grow up wondering if they're good or not because of who they are. So I want to share these things about myself in my songs and my music. There's very identifiable inherent queerness in my new record, you know, where like in the song Up All Night, for example, I say, I broke up with my boyfriend to go out with my girlfriend because love is like that. That's true. You know, that's just a true thing, like right out of my life. The song Feminine Walk, basically a story of coming to see my queerness as a superpower, you know, as something that made me stronger and more empathetic. Sensitive, certainly, but also like sensitive to the needs, wants of other people. It helped me develop stronger relationships in my life. So I've come to recognize it as being something really beautiful and cool, but it took me a minute to get there. And you can hear some of that growth and expression, you know, in a song like Feminine Walk, because it's really talking about my history.
Yeah. Yeah. I think those songs, the queer energy there is very recognizable. I definitely recognized it while listening to it.
You know, my very first album, In the Blazes, you know, has a song on it called Judy Was a Punk. That is a tribute song to Judy Sill, who was really one of the first openly queer singer-songwriters that I'm aware of existing within that 1970s, you know, amazing scene in Southern California there. She was the first person that David Geffen ever signed to his record company, but she was very openly queer. And my song Judy Was a Punk talks about how she was sort of treated and perceived and received by both the industry and the music listening public, in spite of being a genius artist. I mean, a genius artist. You know, she had a very difficult time finding acceptance for what she was doing and what she was saying, the things she was talking about, what she looked like. She was topless in her promotional photographs. You know, I mean, this lady was cool and people just sort of didn't get it. And, you know, she got addicted to heroin and died of a heroin overdose while working as a cartoonist for the LA Times, I think just in her late 30s. And so that was on my very first album back in 2015. On my second record, Silver Tears, there's a song called It's a Hard Life that kicks off the record. The second verse of that record, there's a redneck bummer in an H2 Hummer, and he sure does hate the queers. I guess some life choices are cries for help that nobody ever hears. What I was talking about in that moment is the way that when people are harassing someone or whatever, you know, this is a reflection of something that's happened to the harasser. they have these negative feelings inside that they need to expel because of some past trauma or some past event in their life that they went through that was difficult that they never had a chance to work through. So now they're carrying this pain around, and now they're pushing this pain onto other people because they don't know what else to do with it. That's an awareness thing. You know, we become aware of our pain. We become aware of our bodies and how our pain is affecting our bodies, how it changes our demeanor when it starts affecting us. You know, when you become aware of these things, you know, you can make an effort to not put that pain onto somebody else. And that's a choice that we can all, you know, we can all make. It's not an easy thing to do. You know, it requires work and awareness and confronting difficult emotions. But this is one of the problems that we have as young men in America. It's like there are too many of us that are taught that emotions are a sign of weakness or whatever. We have seen time and time again the fallacy of these statements by people who get into positions of leadership or whatever in this country who don't know how to regulate their emotions. And they set an example of basically how to be completely unaware of the things in your life that have hurt you and constantly expel that onto other people as a result of this pain that you have. It doesn't just disappear. It stays in there. It stays with you. And if you don't find a way to healthily regulate your emotions, all of this is going to come out in ways that hurt other people. And we need to be figuring out ways to console each other in these times and lift each other up. Everybody is dealing with something right now. And so I think when we go out into the world, whether it's on tour or just to the grocery store, you know, we got to be aware of this, and we got to know that people are hurting and suffering the same way that we are, and try to have some awareness of these emotions that we're all going through. Try to regulate them. Try to, you know, normalize talking about them in a healthy way so that as time moves on, you know, we can be better for each other. Because that's my goal. You know, it's like, be a good friend, yes, but be a good stranger, because there are people that you don't know who are depending on you to do the right thing. And that's the world that we live in today, you know, with the virus and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. I definitely think empathy is a big tool right now. I think that's something that is in short supply, but we need a lot of it right now.
Yeah, I agree.
So I want to thank you for talking with me today about everything. I appreciate it. And I want to say congratulations on the Grammy nomination. That is just huge.
Oh, thank you, Maria. I honestly, like, I'm so over the moon about that, because I met Yola in 2017. We were on a tour together in Sweden and Norway. I was so immediately taken by her just as a human. It's as soon as you hear her perform, it's clear that she is extraordinarily talented. She's so good. But besides that, she's just one of the best human beings that, you know, on the face of the planet, and so cool. And I just absolutely love that my first nomination was for a song that, you know, I helped her write for her album, because I think the story that she's telling, she's a very important artist. I also think, like, if there's one thing that we cannot do enough of at this point, it is lift up Black women, because they are oftentimes at the center of so much of what we come to love and admire, that we forget that they invented, like, rock and roll. Sister Rosetta Tharpe, you know what I mean? Invented Chuck Berry. Hello. It said rock and roll in a song in like 1948 or something like that. Before anybody, you know, before there was Bill Haley and the Comets or any of that stuff. I think it's a powerful record. I love the song that we wrote together. It means so much to me. And I love that this moment came at this time with my dear friend Yola, whose art and music I just believe in so, so much. So thank you for the encouragement there. It really means a lot to me, and super excited to, I've never been before, so I'm going to go, and now all I have to do is figure out what to wear.
Oh, to be in those shoes. That's an exciting time.
Right? I know. God. Yeah. Let's hope that's what they say about me on the red carpet, to be in those shoes. Maybe some sort of fabulous, very long shoe with a point on the end of it.
We're manifesting.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Well, thank you so much. It's really been a pleasure. And good luck. Safe travels. Thank you again.
Yeah, thanks, Maria. Have a good one.